Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. Oh, wait, I'm not Luke. Luke's not here.
I'm Brian.
And you're Evan. You're Evan Brian. I'm Luke Evans. Luke Evans and Luke Bryant here for you on Dueling Tangents. Coming to you live on WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha, as well as 101 FM The Shaw, over in Madison in the Solidarity Realty Studios, where Ebone is hanging out there. You are listening to him on 1580 AM, that's WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM, Devil Radio. We also have the Devil Radio app. You can choose either the Waukesha stream or the Madison stream. There are two different streams you can choose on the Devil Radio app. You can get that wherever fine apps are apt, as well as giving us a call, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. I think I've covered it. And speaking of parties, there was a party over the weekend. The Devil Radio team and family and friends came together, simultaneously also celebrating Caden Crute's graduation. Congratulations. Caden. Yes. And I missed you there, Ebone. That was...
I had to cater a wedding. Thanks, Jim.
They should cancel their wedding.
Yeah.
Pay you for being there anyway. because it was more important to be at the Devil Radio thing. That was pretty cool. Mowed the lawn this weekend. I feel like there's some other big news that has happened recently that maybe, well, we'll get to a bunch of things today. I'll remember it in just a little bit here. We saw 31 idiots in a U-Haul. We'll talk about that in a little bit. If we have time, we're going to get to SCOTUS. The Supreme Court had some great things happening over the last week that I think we've forgot about with our the hearings. That's right, the January 6th hearings. Oh, that happened. It seemed like a big thing. Oh, yeah, we air it on here on this station and on our entire network. You can listen to the live hearings anytime. If you have anything to say about the hearings, if you have a comment or question about the hearings, something that you saw today. Today was all about the big lie and proving how much of a big giant lie it was and how much the people who support it are being grifted by that big lie. That's fun. And then later on, I might even give you the reason why we're all such dumb idiots as a whole society. Because I don't know if you noticed this. In order for all this to work, in order for all this nonsense, this big lie, this voter fraud lie, this idea that Dominion has some sort of thing on Wi-Fi and all the voter machines are all silly or somehow, you know, by counting exactly how they count every year, this time it was suspicious looking, so it's the worst thing ever. Everything from bamboo to, you know, whatever. I still haven't gotten any sort of explanation as to how any of the voter fraud that is alleged has ever happened, and nobody has. And that's the whole thing. But again, there's a large amount of people that still believe that the vote was stolen, that the election was rigged and things like that. And I don't want to... It's really easy to just go and say, wow, what a bunch of idiots. They can't see reality for what it is. And at this point, yeah, you kind of got to move on. Like, I'm done trying to prove it to people. It's more just a sport to see, like, how fast I can get them to go into a loop as to what they're talking about.
I mean, Brian, we live in the information age. There just is not an excuse anymore, in my humble opinion. The information is there, and it's too easy to find. So I'm right there with you as far as I'm done trying to convince you, because that information is easy to get.
Yes, and it's a matter of being able to verify it versus what you want to believe in your head. One of my favorite sci-fi books or fantasy novels before it went off the rails, but first couple books are pretty amazing. One of the biggest things about the first book is that people are stupid. They will believe whatever they want to believe as long as they want to believe it. Because your mind is an amazing thing. Your mind is amazing. It's just flat out amazing. The stuff that, you know, it can do, the stuff that it can affect in your body, and how it can affect how your body perceives itself and how your body heals, how your body works, is amazing. And I say, look at the way that addiction takes somebody. Addiction to anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say one of the most addicted drugs out there. We'll say, you know, it's meth. You know, super super addictive. You can say I'm gonna stop, and you can rationalize you should stop, and you should know that you're gonna stop, and like all rational thought, all facts point to you should stop, but your body needs it now.
And people are addicted to propaganda. I know that you sort of brought this up as one of those more extreme examples to grab the attention.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh man, this juxtaposition is really intense. It's not that outlandish.
It's the idea that your mind will go and make your mind work to feed the need that you have.
Yeah.
And if you have obsessed so much that you believe that this election is stolen, you're going to go and do anything, no matter how much evidence gets thrown at you, no matter how much anybody says, hey, can you prove to me how this election fraud happened, and then they can't, or they change the subject, or, well, you did this.
No matter how much you know it's wrong.
Yeah. If you have convinced yourself to the point where you have to do it, it doesn't matter. It will go around there. And again, I'm saying this in more of a, let's not call them idiots as much as there's a lot of folks out there that really, 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 and I have a theory as to why, and you're going to have to stay to the end of the show to figure out why, but to give my take as to why, and it's the whole society's issue, I think, and it's a byproduct of having the society the way we are. And I'll show you a bunch of examples as we go through this show here, but think about this. The pet Rock made $1 million. Dude put rocks in a package and sold them.
You don't even have to feed it, Brian.
Yeah, I know. I get that. You don't have to feed the rocks that are outside your house that you could have as a pet.
No,
rock,
no.
Dude made $1 million having a pet rock.
Googly eyes, Brian. Googly eyes.
The black-eyed peas were considered really good. Like, people actually really like them, and went, like, lots of people went to their concerts at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Finding Bigfoot has ratings. Finding Bigfoot, they never found. There's like 3 or 4 Bigfoot shows, dude. There's people call them squatches. There's a whole language, and not all of those viewers are watching it ironically. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna say most of them aren't.
The History Channel is no longer the History Channel. It's just the Hitler Channel.
And it's been a lot. It's been really bad for a long time.
And going from like actual documentaries I would watch to like, why do they have the mermaids on here? Animal Planet had mermaids on there. Good old Animal Planet, who's trying to save the world, animals and stuff. Oh, there's also a mermaid documentary that we're going to air. And these wouldn't air if people didn't, you know, buy into it. And that's the whole thing. I guess we gotta figure out a way to get to the point where we all have this at least somewhat of a shared reality, or we can figure out what, because again, like you said, there's the information age. If you want to hear news from any sort of different angle, you can hear news from any different angle.
It's officially on you now. Nowadays, there's enough information available, and it's easily available enough that it's on us. Nobody can be trusted to give us those keys where we don't double check.
You have to take whatever, even the people that you, because again, even the people that are the news people that are always on the news, they can't possibly keep their eyes on everything that is going on right now. And most of them have, let's say the people on CNN, they may have a whole bunch, they have no idea about what nerd culture is. You know what I mean? I guess my point is that there's so many different sects of humanity here. People don't even know what each other are saying. It's a Tower of Babel in reverse. Or I know it's the Tower of Babel. It's the exact Tower of Babel. I'm not even in remember.
Yeah.
It's continuation of it. People are getting different silos, different languages, and different things. And that's why people are like, that's why you find a niche of millions of people that like finding Bigfoot and think that that's a great idea, you know? And to this extent, it's not, this isn't a new thing either. All right. This is literally why, and this is a stupid and horrible thought at this point, especially since, you know, all this talk that we have had, but this is why the founding fathers, as they were, said only white landowning folks were trusted to vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because they thought less of everybody else. Of course they did. But the reason they thought less of everybody else is because they were literally uneducated. They were not allowed to be educated. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the masses of people who, you know, didn't own land, generally the way that they had the vote, they made sure that the people who got to vote had a reasonable chance of being able to read at the least. You know, that's what they were dealing with at the time. And that's a large scale. That's obviously we've improved that. We have, you know, most of our population should be able to read or has a pretty decent chance at reading, or at least, you know, public education. My point is that this has been a problem throughout all of society, and we've been dealing with it a different way. And this is the first time, again, don't forget about American individualism, how we are all told from the beginning that your ideas are very important and you're special and it's all individualized and everybody's great and everybody deserves time and everybody deserves their say. That's why, you know, an expert like Neil deGrasse Tyson can come on and say, here's a bunch of scientific facts, and then some yokel who comes on and goes, but I believe the world is flat, and they're all treated equally by equal bandwidth from everybody. And that's how it happens.
Almost everybody.
I know, exactly. But we have to, but it's now left up to us.
That's right.
To decide that Neil deGrasse Tyson is somebody that we should listen to, and maybe not the guy who's going, no, the earth is flat.
It's my favorite logical fallacy, argument from authority. The fact that an authority figure, scare quotes, says something means it's true. And we've sort of fallen into a rut here where everybody has their own authority.
Yeah, which is why you can go and see how, you know, Bill Barr laughed and the entire group laughed when they brought up 2,000 mules. The entire group was in, like, knew that this is a bunch of crap. And we're still having hearings on it. Because we have to show everybody just how ridiculous this is. Give me your call, 844-967-2789. I want to hear what you have to say about the January 6th. If you actually have any information or things that you want to say. 844-967-2789.
What has happened to us? What has happened to us?
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Evan. That's Evan Lewis, as well as Mike Schmidt. We're broadcasting from the southern swath of Wisconsin. We've been talking about the societies tend to, you know, people tend to go and keep their minds sane by believing as much as they can and going and creating the world around them, because there are certain people who just can't admit that they might even be wrong, or their point of view may be wrong, because they believe so strongly in it. And even if they know they're wrong, they can't stop doing it. And maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's not. I just know that the mind is a powerful thing. And if you strongly believe in something, your mind will create worlds for it to happen. Going back to the meth addict will smoke at least two or three and then go, oh, I didn't even mean to do that. Or they'll be out, and next thing you know, they like an hour later, they're somehow buying it and they don't even remember the hour that they left to go and get it.
Drug addicts are an enterprising people. If you want to see somebody come up with $50 in short order,
yeah,
drug addict. You'd be amazed. These people work harder than anyone I have ever met.
I have done it myself.
In service of their addiction, of course.
Of course. But I'm saying that, and again, I don't want to equate the thing. I'm just saying that I'm using the mind in and of itself is a very powerful thing. And if you can believe something and make a reality about something so much, you might even be, I don't know, inspired by a bunch of lies to go and grab, let's say, 30 of your best buddies, put your bunch of khakis on, get riot gear and go inside of a U-Haul to go and ruin a pride parade.
Oddly specific. Hold on a second. Oh, this actually happened.
That actually happened this weekend.
Yeah.
Imagine being these guys. So angry.
Patriot Front. Did you see their mugshots lined up in a row? Awful. It looked like an Oblivion character creation screen. It was amazing.
It was like, they're very white.
Oh, yes. White.
Let's see what CNN has to say here. Just to give a little summary here. 31 people arrested in Idaho have ties to a white nationalist group and plan to riot at a pride event, police say. And here's what we know. This is from Elizabeth Wolf at CNN. Updated today. After an alarmed 911 caller reported a group dressed like a little army getting into a moving truck, police in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, arrested 31 men believed to be linked to a white nationalist group who had plans to riot at a weekend pride event, authorities said. The large group, which police believe was affiliated with Patriot Front, what a great name for a wonderful people who wanted to go and literally riot during a gay pride parade.
Do you remember these guys? They broke some stories about them sort of went viral, I don't know, last fall. These are the guys with, they have shin guards and like Jason masks and
Well, they have a better uniform now. They have now just the white stuff on their face, mask type of thing, like a ski mask type of thing, but like the nylon one that doesn't really work and gets your face wet and then it freezes to your face.
Like I said, they're mugshots. The masks were warranted.
Yes, they are not. And the thing is, like, this thing took place in Idaho. They are not from Idaho. None of them are. One's from Spokane. No, I know a little bit about the area. My brother used to.
Oh, Northwest is, man, there's some extremism there.
Yeah, well, don't forget, this is on the other side of the mountains from Seattle. You're on the border of Washington, the eastern border of Washington, the western border of Idaho. Now, they're obviously, this is the sixth year of their pride parade, right? So it's been going on for a while in a town of 56,000 people. I'm sure that most of the people that don't like the parade have said so and then just didn't show up. And then the people who liked it showed up enough that they said, let's do this for six more years, right? And they got along in this thing. But then these people decided to come in outside of there to go and destroy their town. They wanted to destroy their town because of a pride parade. Imagine hating people so much because they're different than you. And again, they use the Bible to go and justify this stuff. And again, they probably were at a crawfish boil in the last week or two.
And it's that war fetishism. You know, this, it's like a troop carrier from U-Haul.
Yes, it's a bunch of people who really, they probably would have been trained out of the army had they gone in. They're the kind of people that they say, yeah, maybe you're not the best person to put out there on the front lines because you're not reliable. Or maybe you have a little bit of a problem with reality. Or maybe a little bit of a problem with extremism. But the problem is that this is happening more often than not now, and it's been given a little bit of spark to the flame by being, you know, stand back and stand by, right? Right? Are you proud? Are you proud?
Are you boys?
Are you boys? Is it exciting for you?
Oh man!
Because again, these are people in cosplay.
Remember, folks, see something, say something.
Yeah, this was because a concerned citizen said, "I saw a bunch of idiots getting into a U-Haul van. They look like they're going to do something dumb."
Like a little army.
Aww. A little tiny men with little tiny egos that need to show how powerful they are. They have no outlet for it. They want. For whatever reason, they have to show how powerful and how they're going to take things back and how aggrieved they are. But these are the most insecure people on earth that do this kind of thing.
And their thumbs don't move fast enough to play Call of Duty anymore. They used to be able to get their kicks elsewhere, you know?
Yeah, and that's only good for the right and left controller now, the trigger finger. So they're now down to first-person shooter live action. But they actually didn't have... They only had weapons of batons and riot gear, but... again, what? How much do you hate people? Have you ever been to a pride parade? It's the greatest time of your life.
Yeah, there's a pretty gross initiative there.
You have to try to hate. Yeah. You have to try to hate that.
Yes, initiative to hate.
There's so many people that, like, even the people that hate each other are laughing at each other because it's funny and fun and ridiculous. It is great. It is wonderful. And go check it out. If you haven't, go see a drag show. If you don't like it, don't go to one again. But at least go to one. See where you're getting. Stop being mad all the time. But again, this talks to the biggest problem in society we're going to get to in the third segment here. But this is a symptom, man. Societal issue.
Stand back and stand by.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That over there is Evan. Filling in for Luke. Luke's gone for the week. He'll be back next week, I promise. He needs to go and check out, but hell of a week to check out, man. We got the January 6th hearings happening. You're listening to us right now. We're going to carry those hearings. If you have the hearing on, you're going to listen to it live here on WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha, as well as 101 FM The Shaw in Waukesha. And Madison and the Solidarity Realty Studios will be broadcasting the January 6th hearings live as well, anytime they're on WTTN 1580 AM as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. You can also check it out on the Devil Radio app. We'll be streaming on both stations. And anytime that there's January 6th hearings, we'll be hearing it here on this station. So if you have anything to say about the January 6th, give me a call, 844-967-2789. So far, we've talked about the January 6th. We've also pointed out that we have a problem in our society, and it's one is a combination of our society needing to do something very important, and as well as our own minds going and creating the realities that shape our actions, almost like an addict trying to without consciously doing so, walking towards a problem. So without further ado, let's go to the callers before we move on to another subject here. Let's go to Dave in California. How you doing, Dave? What's going on, man?
Hey, well, not too bad. I've watched every bit of the hearing today, and I don't know if you've kept up with the issue of, Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court justice, and his wife, Virginia Thomas. When news about her malfeasance came out a couple of months ago, there was discussion about some tweets that she had done with Mark Meadows, and Meadows was Trump's chief of staff. And apparently on election night, she was acknowledging that Trump had lost the election, but she was goading Meadows and the campaign to move ahead with coming up with the fake electors and to basically propound the lie that that Trump had truly won. So they knew on election night that they were committing a fraud by declaring that there was a fake electors, that the election was stolen. And in fact, if you caught the hearing today, there was, I'm trying to think if it was Trump's campaign manager, knew in September that they were on a downhill slide. That Trump had so mismanaged COVID, he had so mismanaged the will of the people, so to speak, that he was going to lose the election anyway. And on election night, it was lost. But they actually came up with, and whether it was Ginny Thomas that goaded him into doing it, or whether it was some other pack of fools, they decided to come up with a propaganda campaign that Trump had truly won.
Well, what happened was there was a normal group of people, and then there was the Giuliani group of people. And Ginny Thomas may have tried to play a bunch of – Ginny Thomas is also going to be an issue going forward, too. She's – she's got some problems. She's got some things that are maybe, I don't know, a little bit ethically dubious, to say the least, and that's really
right.
The nicest way one can put it. But yeah, there was clearly the group around the president either went along with what he believed, because the president was just crying and whining, I didn't win, and getting rid of yes men. Someone said it really perfectly afterwards on CNN. I forget the name, so I don't want to misquote, and I don't want to misname. But right afterwards, as I was leaving, right after the hearing was done, someone said Trump was looking was running out of yes men, so he recruited a bunch of yes men amongst the people.
Right.
And that's pretty much what happened. And thank you for your call, Dave. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, the amount of people who knew around him what was going on and could not steer him towards reality is either, again, it goes to show you what bad leadership can do. I mean, we've all had, I don't know if everybody else has had, but I've had a string of crazy jobs with a bunch of little dictator people that ran the job. You know, managers that wanted to go and prove that they were important rather than, you know, actually getting the job done. People who wanted to justify their ridiculously larger salaries than the employees to make it harder on everybody else just to go and prove they were important and things like that. Donald Trump's the worst of that because he never even worked as a grunt before. He never even stocked shelves at the store. He never even did anything to get his company. He in fact, had he just gotten his daddy's money and left it there, he would have made more money. Like, the guy hasn't done anything to warrant any this amount of, you know, addiction, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, again, going back to this addiction part, you know, I've never seen, you see the movies about, you know, cocaine and how people are off having parties and having wonderful wild sex on cocaine and things like that. There's no movies like that about heroin and crystal meth. Like, there's no, like, feel-good story about heroin unless someone got off of it and then is now constantly having to worry about not wanting it all the time. You know what I mean? There's no, like, hooray, heroin's great story, other than it can make you make some really good music and then you're dead.
Requiem for a Dream. That's the exception to your rule. That's the feel-good story for our generation.
Dude, that was one of those movies you never have to see again.
That's right. That's
American
right.
History X. Just, you never ever have to see that again.
Brittany Murphy.
Yeah. These are all kids. Not a good thing. But the point is that at least with those drugs, you get some sort of high off of it. You know what I mean? It gives you a little bit of something. And I'm struggling, and I've been struggling to find what is the high of the Donald Trump. What is the thing that you get to do that makes you so excited about Donald? Like, so excited that you're willing to go and pay for a trip to smuggle guns into the Capitol to possibly take over the United States. Like, to the point where you're willing to do that. Now, again, a lot of these folks were already primed. If you're in the Proud Boys, you're already ready to fight literally anyone for any excuse for whatever reason. You know, those guys are not known for, hey, well-reasoned discussion. Or let's try reason first to get what we want. These people are not the reasonable kind. So I guess I'm struggling to find what is the addiction? What is the high? What is so great about it that you're willing to do this? Why can't you just cut bait and move on? Like, aren't there anybody else? Is there nobody else in the Republican? Like, is there nobody else? There's no one else in the Republican Party you guys can rally around?
I think this circles back to what you said closer to the beginning of the hour, that that sort of snowflake syndrome. Everybody is special and all your ideas are great. And no matter what you do with your life, when you're an adult, you'll have opportunities that reach into the horizon and, you know, you'll retire happily. There's, you know, that's the moral that's attached to that story. And the GOP, Republicans, that conservative news media sphere has turned that sideways and against them. Basically, towing that line forward. Yes, you are special and your ideas are good. And yeah, you might be unemployed or you might get fired all the time or you might be an alcoholic, but that's not your fault. And your ideas are good. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you mentioned snowflake. And again, this also goes to the culture, the society, and what I'm going to get to in the next segment here. But when people call you a snowflake, just remember they're quoting Fight Club.
Yeah.
A satire.
Yep.
A satire written by a gay man about how male fragility causes men to destroy themselves, resent society, and become radicalized, and that Tyler Durden isn't the hero, but a personification of the main character's mental illness, and that his snowflake speech is a dig at how fascists use dehumanizing language to breed loyalty from insecure people. That van full of a bunch of people ready to go and beat the crap out of people were the most insecure people in their society, more than likely.
They are the emotionally abused. They're the ones that have maybe, for my money, it's that realization that you're not special just by virtue of being born, that your ideas aren't good just because you have them. I think my generation, your generation, are the ones that sort of first saw that prophecy get pulled away, right?
Yeah.
And seeing that it's just not like that.
Remember how back in the day, that narrative of, how'd you meet your wife? Well, I beat up her ex-boyfriend, and then she stayed with me. Yeah, because, you know, clubbing people and dragging them by their hair is really what we do. But to summarize again, so basically people who say snowflake as an insult are quoting a domestic terrorist who blows up skyscrapers because he's insecure about the size of his genitalia. That's pretty much how that works out.
Yeah.
So let's go to Mark from the SAC. How you doing, buddy?
Well, you just had to bring genitalia into the whole thing there.
Well, you can see it because the emperor does not have clothes on and hasn't had clothes for a long time, but people are still going, wow, what great genitalia-revealing clothing.
Yeah, well, I kind of think for some of these guys that the average cherub would make the average cherub look like John Holmes. That maybe that's too old a reference for some of these people to understand.
No, it's like a baby holding an apple.
It just is sad, and part of it is the Republican Party has made a concerted effort to wreck the promise of society for these folks economically. So I think they've got no other choice. I mean, it used to be you work hard, you get a decent salary. That the jobs that used to be good paying jobs, like meat cutting and some of those other things, that used to be good, solid, family supporting jobs, no longer are. And
when they make money, they have more time, and when they have more time, they can actually pay attention to what's going on. And when they can pay attention to what's going on, well. You know, that might mean they might vote or might vote differently from the way that you just tell them to.
Yeah.
Huh?
And that's part of what society, what it was supposed to be, is that the working man was supposed to get, time to actually think about things and actually be able to recreate. I mean, there was some, I think there was like in Puck, some political cartoons from, about 100 years ago now, probably, where they're satirizing, the movement to make working time, the workers more secure and having more time. Well, they're saying, well, the working man might actually get out and get interested in politics or have more time to recreate. And that's what a society was supposed to have. That's what guys had back in the 60s and the early part of the 70s, where it was, one wage earner could support a family and support them well. In a lot of cases, working guys were buying little cottages on lakes that, weren't overly fancy.
Maybe that's like the entire Midwest. That's the story of the entire Midwest here, except for black people,
right?
Of course.
Yeah, it's sad that these people don't recognize that fact, because that's the background I came up from. My dad was working class. I mean, that he worked at the oil refinery up in Superior there. But he provided with a decent standard of living back then, aside from a financial setback thanks to a drunk driver that put him out of work for like a couple of years. That's how life was. It's part of the promise that the Republican Party has taken away from people.
Well, I think, let's keep in mind that they're putting their propaganda so they can win. Regardless of the damage, they're like a factory that spews chemical oil into the, and just crap into the water all the time. It helps them win and make their manufacture their winning, but it still harms people. And the funny thing is that all politicians do this. This is the one thing that all politicians do. They frame it around the phrase hardworking people, hardworking American people, hardworking, because it's a given that you're a hardworking American person. And if you're not hardworking, then you're a bad person, right? Because American people are hardworking. They want to be hardworking American people because you want to identify as a hardworking person. Then why do you go and attach to someone who's the laziest piece of crap on earth and doesn't even bother to read his own reports coming at him? And by the way, when they do say hardworking, they make that motion with their fist. They kind of have that closed fist with a thumb on top. The only other time I've seen that is on a sex toy. Just want to point that out.
Bad Bunny.
Yeah. But again, we can't talk about that.
Nope, can't do it.
We can't talk about sex here in America. Only guns and shooting and killing. Yes. Yeah, well, that's a little... we'll talk about that next segment.
Ooh, can't wait.
844-964-4969. Why are you playing Scandal with Patti Smith?
I like it. I don't know. Why are you?
This song was stuck in my head before the internet, and it was there for years, and I was like, oh, I want to find it, and I never found it, because, again, for whatever reason, I just couldn't figure it out. So, welcome back to the Dueling Tangent with Luke and Brian.
Real quick, Brian, I want to just pump in here for people up here in Dane County. National Weather Service alert, severe thunderstorm warning until 3:15 right now. We're looking at 60-mile-an-hour gusts of wind, quarter-sized hail. Yeah, so hunker down, guys.
This is coming across the state. It's going to hit here. It's probably, I think it's slow moving. It's going to be here in a couple hours as well.
Yeah. I'm hearing our battery backups kicking on behind us, so we got the right gear, but be careful out there, guys.
Yeah. Let's stay safe and don't feel bad about pulling over. You don't have to fight through it. It's okay.
Yeah. And we're looking at 30 minutes tops. So yes, please be safe.
Yeah. And I say this talking about the reason I brought in with the warrior here is that we live in a warrior society. Everything we do is framed through struggle against an enemy. Who's the enemy? Sometimes you have to fight against adversity to come on top and
drive through that storm.
Drive through that storm and win. You got to show how tough you are making it through that storm against all odds, when really you're just putting everybody else in danger by trying to get there fast.
Yeah, your family would miss you a lot.
Yeah. But again, we frame everything through trying to fight something. Like all of our, like even if like, it's not just, you know, sports. We have a huge sports society. We have to have the sports team conquered the other team. They sent them back and threw them down.
Through adversity and mud.
It was find Larry Brown and punish him. You know, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a way for people to get out this aggression. Why do we have such aggression for things? Why do we have to run around and play shoot each other with guns? Why do we have to go around and play beat the crap out of the kid who doesn't like to talk right?
And I know I'm an old man now or whatever, but when I was a boy, that toxic masculinity was toxic.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, for my entire upbringing.
I participated in it when I was in fourth grade, and I felt like an idiot for it after. Sure. When I thought about my behavior, I'm like, why did I call Alex corroded? Corroded isn't really that bad, but at the time,
ooh,
if you called someone corroded,
that's rough.
That was bad. Why did I do that? Because he looked weird.
Oh, buddy.
What a jerk I am. you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do know what you mean, though.
And the people who would justify this behavior or say, well, think about this way. That kid is going to be stronger for going through that problem. Well, that kid also may, you know, develop trauma and maybe not be stronger. You know what I mean?
Yep.
No, you're justifying being horrible to somebody else by saying they have to overcome something. They always have to fight against something.
And the right really likes to talk about, you know, families, right? The answer is in the family. And in doing that, it's kind of a dog whistle. You know, they're sort of saying wink, wink. And I do think that's an oversimplification and it's a bad faith argument. But I do firmly believe that the idea of mentorship, as you move through life, when people look to you for information, for inspiration, for direction, if you're ready to provide that for people that are ready to take it, that's some. Those are some of the most powerful, meaningful relationships I've ever had in my life, and they're so very rare. Rarely do you encounter people that are willing to do that for you.
Yeah.
And I think that that's indicative of this problem we're talking about. I mean, yeah.
You always have to do it on your own. You have to somehow do it on your own, even though it's literally impossible. You can't birth yourself.
Nope.
You have to do things with other people's help. Everything that ever happened good in this world from humankind has happened from a group of people doing it, getting together and doing it.
Yeah.
A bigger idea that comes together. And that, and so what I talked about at the beginning of this show, when people can be brought together for stupid things, they can also be brought together for amazing things, for the most wonderful, happy, joyous things possible. We've built things that we can go to the moon. We've put people on the moon.
And brought them home.
Yeah.
That's the part for me that really, really gets me. I mean, yeah, okay, fire, rockets, propulsion, you know, get us out of that atmosphere. But we got them home. I mean, that's really something.
It's special. Amazing that happened.
Yeah.
You know? And it goes to back again. I want to talk about warrior society. We have one. We all grow up having to fight against stuff and work against things. Well, it's not true. You can just live. You can just be. You can learn things and go enjoy yourself, fall in love, have a bunch of great sex, enjoy your kid and your multiple kids or no kids. It doesn't matter. Enjoy someone. Don't have sex if you don't like it. It doesn't matter. You can do whatever. You don't have to struggle against things. You're going to, I mean, things are struggle. Sometimes you have to eat. Sometimes you have to, you know, make some money to go. But my point is that you don't have to always achieve and always fight against something. Because again, when you have a warrior society for a while, when you don't have any enemies, when there's no Cold War anymore, when there's no Russia, there's no enemies, you look for somebody, and next thing you know, you're shooting yourself in the face.
You'll find a way to fight against all odds.
Enemy.
Yes, yes.
That's the point. We're looking for enemies. We're looking for things to fight against, and we're looking for people to hurt. I've heard, for lack of a better term, I don't know what else to say. You know, and this is why you get into a van with a bunch of sweaty idiots to go and, you know, prove that you're so much tougher than the gay pride parade.
Yeah.
Come on.
Really, though, please come on. Get out of that U-Haul. Take off your shin guards. Shun your ballistic shield.
Yeah, it's just. And again, these type of things lead to the president of the United States not believing reality. Not agreeing that reality is even a thing.
It's kind of his specialty, too.
I know.
Yeah.
And then people still going after so many times of being proven this guy is wrong.
And I've said it before, I'll say it again. One of the biggest things that we have, Brian, is that while they're yelling about stolen elections that didn't happen and hating groups of people they don't know or understand and putting on shin guards, we're learning and growing and shaping the world that we're going to be living in. So every moment that goes by that they refuse to get on board, we're pulling ahead.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is we can't stop and wait for them to catch up. They're either going to
There's another away. Train coming.
Yeah, there's another
train. They'll
have
to catch that one.
Yeah. It doesn't matter because time is going to move on no matter what happens, and that means that this show is actually over. Wow, that was quick.
I'm going to
do this four more times this week, Evan. It's going to be fun. I'll see you tomorrow. Crudy's going to come on, and he's going to talk about how he went viral.
We're so proud of him.
Calling out Fox News. Way to go, buddy!
Yay!